here we go again, it's the game we love.
Play game.
You are listening to KBOO Community Radio, and this is Winner's Bias, America's first, best, and only live board game radio show.
Until proven otherwise.
A show about board games and telling yourself that 3 hours is too long to spend with your friends. I'm one of your hosts, Nate, and with me is my buddy, James. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing all right today. How are you doing, Nathaniel?
I woke up with the sniffles, and so if I sound muffled, it's because I'm speaking through a mask.
You're being a good person.
I'm being a very good person. As a reminder, you can comment on our show live using the OLARC messaging system on kboo.fm. Just click the chat with us button in the lower right corner of the window. We're happy to welcome Steve Coker, owner of Battlegrounds Gaming Cafe on Sandy Boulevard in the Hollywood District. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you. Real quick, though, James, I thought you were always going to be commenting on my little jokes there, and this one felt particularly cryptic, and you didn't even say anything.
I thought it would take up our whole half an hour to me be like, 3 hours? You just talked about spending 11 hours playing a game.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
So, yeah, I was just very disappointed in you, as usual. All right, Steve, again, welcome to the show. Nice to have you. So we always do the little... get to know you sort of questions. So how did you get into the board gaming hobby?
Honestly, it wasn't until COVID, actually, that I really got into gaming. I mean, I played games with my family. You know, my dad would always win at Monopoly. My mom would always win at Sorry. And my cousins would always win at Risk. And so I never really enjoyed playing games. But during COVID, I got a 3D printer. Strangely enough, this is a weird way in, but... I've been a screenwriter for a long time, and I had written a show called The Adventures of Dex Dixon, and it was a film noir horror comedy script, and I thought it would be fun to create 3D models of all of the characters. And so that, you know, spent some time doing that. And then once I had them, I was like, well, what do I do with these? You know, I mean, why did I do this? You know, and I was like, wait, I could create a game. Use these as the figures. So I started doing that, discovered that one of my really close friends is actually a game designer and illustrator. I knew he was an illustrator, but I didn't know he designed games. And so he started working with me on this. And over the course of 2 years, we developed a game. And he introduced me then to a bunch of games, starting with like Dice Throne and Horrified and, you know, some of the kind of what we call gateway games. Although I've never played Catan to this day, and it's kind of like a badge of honor for me at this point. I'm sure somebody will talk me into it eventually, but that was kind of got me going on doing this.
So me and Nate have never played Catan either.
Oh, excellent. Which is, Solidarity Brothers.
Yeah, it's a badge of honor for me.
Well, I'm trying to convince him because some friends of the show, Alex and Cardner, created an expansion called 18 Catan, where they've turned Catan into an 18XX game.
Oh, wow.
And so I've been like, all right, James, we're going to have to play Catan and then play 18 Catan and have them back on the show to talk about that. So I'm trying to get that tower to fall.
Trying to destroy that badge of honor.
Yeah. Well, you see how, you know, big Catan is trying to take over the space.
The TV show they're getting made or something, right?
Yeah, I can't even imagine what that is.
You decided to make a game even before you like got into like the deep hobby.
Yeah. I knew so little. You know, honestly, it was a lot of dice rolling at first, and then later, you know, come to find out that a lot of people kind of don't love the dice rolling aspect of gaming. And so it was somebody from the Dice Tower West when I went to the convention that said, hey, you should look for any other way to do the movement and all of that stuff, which was a wonderful directive and ended up coming up with a really great solution, which they called Elegant. And I really appreciated them saying that. We spent a long time trying to get on a Kickstarter, and then, unfortunately, the thing I didn't do was see what else was coming out. at that same time, and I kind of lost to a really big game that I won't mention. And so I pulled it and, you know, plan one day to go back to Kickstarter and try and get it made.
Awesome. How did you, well, it sounds like you found your gaming group through the friend that was helping you develop this game.
Well, yeah, but then, strangely enough, through the course of developing my game, I also discovered that another really close friend of mine was also a designer that he'd never, ever mentioned to me. And so he is actually the person who's kind of formed our current group. Now, I own a game store, so I don't really get to play very often. We will play at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night for like 3 or 4 hours. Sometimes 11, as you mentioned earlier. They've been the core play group now for the last like year and a half.
Your friends got you into the hobby by, like you said, through the gateway games.
Yeah.
What do you think was your favorite gateway game that would help other people get in?
I mean, I think Azul is one of my favorites. It's not super difficult to learn, although the scoring is probably the hardest part that people have to figure out. But once you figure that out and the strategy behind it, I think it's really a great puzzle game. And then Horrified would be the other one because it was a cooperative. So you can work together to solve the puzzles, you know, and that I think was appealing at first too. Although my instinct was to make my game as difficult on everybody else as possible, you know, at first, you know, like you're like, ah, ha, ha. You hate that when it happens to you, but you love it when it happens to them, kind of a situation. So, yeah. Huh.
Great. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about what the Battlegrounds Gaming Cafe is, aside from a terrific pun?
Right, yeah. It's two puns, actually. You know, battle and grounds for the coffee. It's a really cool space. I wanted to make it inviting and welcoming. There wasn't a lot of cafe concepts when we first started doing it, but now it seems like it's becoming kind of the norm as new stores are opening up and they'll have, you know, crepes or they'll have, you know, other offerings. But we really wanted to focus on great coffee, great environment, and just like a really nice welcoming community, a hug, if you will, you know. So that's kind of what it is. And I ran Saint Honoré for about 6 years. It's a, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the French pastries and that sort of thing. So I had a background in the restaurant industry as well. So for me, it's just a win-win.
So I always wonder this when it comes to like gaming stores that have two things going on, like yours with the coffee and the gaming. Which one came first? Was you like, I want to make a gaming store and we'll bring coffee into it? Or are you like, I want to make a coffee store and then bring board games into it?
I think, honestly, a friend of mine had a little coffee space that was coming up for lease, and we ended up not doing it, but I was like, let's do that, but then also bring in like two-player games and smaller games that could be on the tables, which I think is where I first kind of came up with the idea for Battlegrounds. So it was like a, you know, head-to-head kind of a thing. But I realized that I wanted to build a community, and for that we would need a larger space to do, you know, like Magic the Gathering tournaments or other things. And also I'm a huge, huge fan of Dice Throne, which came out in about 2017. And it's basically Battle Yahtzee. There are 40 characters. They're all asymmetrically powered. And it's just such a fun game. And I knew that they were going to be doing national tournaments. And so I wanted a space that would be able to accommodate having those people in there.
And again, you recently came into the hobby. So, like, why were you just like board game cafe as such a new entrant to the hobby?
I just don't like to do things small, you know, honestly. And also, I respond really well to people saying you can't do that because then I'm going to do that. And so I think there were people that were like, you know, that's a lot to take on. But I'd been running businesses for so long. It just felt like a natural step for me.
So with the dual purposes in your store, does it come with any limitations that you have to think about?
I mean, no, not really. Unfortunately, you know, the coffee piece was supposed to be kind of the linchpin. You know, like we were hoping that the neighborhood that we're in, there's not a lot of coffee around. And so we were kind of hoping that that would kind of be a nice way to balance the two, and like bringing people in for coffee, introducing them to games, or bringing people in for games and saying, hey, we got coffee. So, I mean, it felt like a hand-in-hand thing. And I had seen a couple places, like, there's a place, like, my absolute favorite name of a game store, which is Shoots and Lattes. I love that. They had been successful in doing, I think, maybe 3 or 4 franchises across the country and also in Canada. And so it just seemed like a model that would be fairly easy to replicate. You know, had no idea it was going to be so hard to get customers in the morning at the location that we're at. But yeah, we've just stuck to it and tried to just continue to do quality products and, you know, great service and just be there for the community.
Yeah, and since you mentioned it, I'll just jump to this question right now. But like, what have been some of the challenges that you've faced? Because I worked in Hollywood for 10 years. And that particular area of Hollywood, right by the theater and the highway and Sandy, is a nightmare to drive around.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's just hard accessing that sometimes.
Yeah, I think the parking has been an issue for people. But what I always ask people is to please tell me what game store in Portland has great parking, because none of them do, unless you're on the outskirts or in, like, a strip mall. Everybody has, like, about 8 spots, you know, or whatnot. So... that has been something that's come up many times. Also, Sandy's just like, you know, I'm always hearing honking cars and beep, beep, beep. And I'm like, ladies and gentlemen, Sandy Boulevard, you know, it's like, it's definitely a busy and crazy road. And so I think that has been one of the major challenges of, you know, putting it where we put it. Now, there is direct bus, you know, right there, the 12 drops off right in front of our space. There's a couple blocks over is the MAX station. So if you're thinking of it as a destination, you can get there.
Yeah. And it's the former Tony Starlight's location, right?
No, that's actually the pinball machine place next door. We're a dispensary, and it was a liquor store for 50 years. So we're still doing stimulants, but, you know, in a different way.
So was the, you said the Howlite fact, like, there was no coffee store around the area. Was that why you chose the Hollywood Boulevard area on Sandy?
That was part of it, but also just the space itself was large. So, you know, we have a back room that holds 8 to 10 tables for people to play. There was enough room to put in a couple of really nice bathrooms, which we built in. And also the front space just lent itself to being able to split it up between the retail side and the coffee part.
Right. We're going to do a quick reset, and we'll come right back with some questions. You are listening to 90.7 KBOO Portland. If you're just tuning in, I'm Nate, here with James, and this is Winner's Bias, a show about the board gaming hobby. We're talking with Steve Coker, owner of Battlegrounds Gaming Cafe here in Portland, and I just remembered I forgot to mention that you can chat with us by using the OLARC messaging system on our website. Just hit the chat with us button in the bottom right corner of the page and send a message, and we can respond to you. So there's a incredibly vibrant board game community here in Portland. So how did you go about finding your niche in that environment and amongst the other stores?
Well, I think one of the things we decided was that we can't be everything to everybody. It's just there's so many games. You go to Guardian and it's just like sometimes you just kind of get lost in there, you know. And Mox, you know, same thing. It's just large. And in some ways a little impersonal. And so, you know, not to slight them, I have no problems with any of those people. But, you know, we wanted to make sure that when people came to our store, they were greeted warmly, you know, and treated well. And, I was on a TV show, promoting the opening, and they asked us what our goal was. And I said, we want to be the best game store and the best coffee shop in Portland, which, you know, is a high bar for sure, especially around the coffee. This town has some incredible coffee.
How do you think you're doing on that goal?
I think the people who come and enjoy our coffee love it. I think more people need to come and try it because it is excellent. We've just partnered with Water Avenue, and they are doing 2 blends for us that are specific to our store. And in fact, they have even branded them with artwork from our store, which I absolutely love. And I'm a little biased, you know, honestly. It's my favorite game store to play at. But it is, like you say, the community, it thrives. And there, I would say that all of the groups that come in, like the Magic players on Monday nights, we have Commander. And it's just a really relaxed, casual group who are very supportive of each other. We haven't had many jerks, and they don't usually come back. And it's just they're just so welcoming, you know. I have a great judge, and he is very humble and very kind. He's I think he's number 3 in the world right now in Dice Throne. He was number 1 for a really long time, and I always say, "Man, you're number 1." He goes, "For now." He's just really chill. And so that kind of vibe is prevalent in our store across, you know, everybody who comes in. So
you're saying you get mentioned the communities that were coming in. How did you help build up those communities to make them feel safe in your store?
We just made sure that when people came in, that we treated them well. And the word of mouth got around. We got a couple of groups that that came in from other places where they were playing and they didn't feel as supported, and so they reached out to us and came in. I got vetted by an LGBTQ community players. They came in to meet me because I look like a cis white male of a certain age, because that's what I am, and but they don't know if I'm an ally, you know. So they came in to meet me, and so, you know, we've been very, very lucky to have those people come and trust us. And they are still, I mean, since we opened, have been coming in on Thursday, every other Thursday since we opened. And then a D&D guild comes in on Thursday nights as well. And they're fantastic people.
And you are the only place in town doing the Dice Throne tournaments?
No, there is Aloha. Aloha Guardian, they do one tournament a month in Portland. That's just the two of us. And then there is one in Vancouver called Contrarian Games, and they're great people. And if you're up in that area, go visit them. They're really cool. And they'll do two a month. You know, we do three tournaments a month. And we do that because we do one on a Saturday during the day. We have a Tuesday night one and then one on a Sunday. And we do that so that those folks who aren't able to get to the one are able to come to at least one other one. And so we also try to prize, you know, and do some unique, fun things. Sometimes you know what a whiff is, but if you don't get a good move and you whiff the first one of any tournament, I will generally try to give a set of dice to and say, "Here, this is to practice." And then, you know, the first person to get an ultimate, which is basically your Yahtzee in the game, will, you know, sometimes have a prize for that too. So we just try to make it fun and engaging. And I mean, the Dice Throne game itself is one of those games that is just fun whether you're winning or losing. So I think that lends itself to some really fun. We actually have a tournament tonight, actually, with that, and a Magic tournament. What was I thinking? I've got two tonight. I forgot about that. So we'll be busy this evening. Come by, get some coffee.
So you just mentioned how full your event calendar is, that you've got a lot of events going on all the time. How did you manage to build all those events and make sure you got the right ones in the right area and they weren't all overlapping?
You know, I did a lot of research online, talked to other stores, find out when they were doing their events so that I wasn't stepping on their toes either. So especially with the Dice Throne, we all reached out to each other and made a schedule that allowed for all of us to do our events and not get in the way. So then I also spoke to a lot of, players and said, you know, what are you guys looking for? The Magic, I knew there wasn't really a lot of Monday night Commander, so it seemed to work really well, for our schedule. I'm having a hard time getting, we were trying to do drafts on Fridays, and other stores had just been established for so long that it just didn't really work out. So we've pulled that, and we'll do some learn to plays, or we'll have open play Magic. But yeah, it's just a lot of talking to and listening to the community.
One thing I'm learning from talking to other board game store owners is like how supportive you all are of each other. Like everyone... talking to Miles from Puddle Town, talking about how he had been communicating with Alex and, Alex and, why am I forgetting his name? Who's the other owner of Bubble Down or of Cloud Cap?
Yeah, I'm there too. I'm blanking.
I'm so sorry. I'm doing it on live radio. This is the problem with live radio. But the owners of Cloud Cap, and they were talking. You were talking about Board Bard. Yeah.
And Curtis and Scott over there. Yeah.
And just how supportive everyone is, and even just calling around to find out where things are so you're not stepping on toes. Like, it's just, it's really encouraging and heartwarming to know, like, how everyone just sort of like, we're in this together.
Absolutely. Well, Board Bard opened a couple of months before we did, just based on permits going sooner. And when we met them, they were just the really cool people. And I noticed they had a little bit of dice thrown on their shelf. And I said, hey, if you don't sell that, I won't sell Pokemon, and I'll send people to you, and you can send people to me. And so they agreed. And so we will sell. We will send each other customers a lot.
That's great.
So you have this event coming on pretty soon about the the garage sale, the board game garage sale.
Yeah, and you know, other stores in the area do that. Actually, I've been to Cloud Caps a couple of times. They'll do one every year, and so we're going to be doing that on the 23rd. That's this coming up Sunday. We've got 10 tables of vendors coming with games. We're going to make it a cash event. So bring cash down, and people will be able to buy games from any of those tables or from us. And it's going to be a really good time, like from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Excuse me. And does the, like, at these things, is there going to be, like, space for people to, like, hang out and play? Or is all the play space going to be kind of taken up by the vendors?
Yeah, pretty much the space is taken up by the vendors. It's really an on-purpose kind of pre-holiday sale, so people can come and, you know, get games. We will have a few of our tables up front available, because we're actually going to do biscuits and gravy, which I'm totally stoked about. I was going to come to work just to have some biscuits and gravy. But we'll still have all the coffee. So, you know, people can grab a coffee, grab a little something to eat, and do, you know, wander around and talk to the vendors and make some good deals.
How do you find the vendors for the event?
I reached out through Facebook and on our website. And I did like an ad for Facebook to see if we could find people. And we filled up pretty quickly. I have to respond to a few people today who have reached out. We're full, but we have a waiting list as well. So, yeah.
Do you have to have like a minimum number of games that you can offer?
No, no. They just do a table rental from us, and then they can bring as much or as little as they want.
So I know we don't have much time left, but I wanted to make sure I got into this question because I know it annoys you so much, Nate. So you are a store, like you said, with the food and the drink. Does it worry you that the crumbs, the sticky fingers, the liquid will get onto any of your games that you let people play at your store?
Well, you know, it's why we can't have nice things. You know, we actually haven't had a lot of problems with that. People seem to be fairly respectable about it. I have had a couple of games when we used to rent games out. I had a couple that got damaged. And so I quickly said, yeah, I don't want to do that. Because a lot of the games in the rental library were actually my own. Part of the reason to get a game store is to get it out of your house. We just kind of pay attention and just expect people to be decent, you know, and for the most part, we haven't really had that problem.
Do you have to keep track of, because board games are weird and they fluctuate in value. They're like a commodity.
Yeah.
And do you have to keep track of like, oh, that game is actually too valuable now to keep on the shelf?
You know, it's interesting. I have a little bit different approach, and that approach is, do I love that game or not? You know, because we have some strange games. We had some really cool games that we got from a couple of, when we first opened, we bought two people's full collections of games, and there were some really fun and interesting things in there. Some of them are in my closet at home, and some of them are on the shelf still to be played, or they're on our used game shelf.
And speaking of games in your closet at home, do you find it at all disappointing that you don't really have time to play these games?
Absolutely. And I think that's why I have sacrificed my sleep on Saturday nights to be able to play, you know, usually much larger games too. That's kind of what we like to play. We've been playing one game called Aldera, which is an airship game. It came out not too long ago. And we've had it on the table for 3 weeks. Longer than that, actually, we had to restart the game. But the last 3 weeks, that's what we've been playing. So,
and sorry, I just lost it. James, I lost it. Save me, James.
So I've noticed that at the back of your store, a lot of game stores will, when you want to play one of their games, it'll be behind the counter. Mm. But yours is just out there, and anyone can just grab a game they want. Are you ever worried about those games? Like, do you have to like pay close attention whenever they get back, or whoever's playing them, or are you just like, whatever happens, happens?
You can tell who's going to be the messy ones, you know, that you might need to go back and make sure everything was put away properly. I'm a little bit, I'll use the word anal about it, especially Dice Throne, because there's so many tokens and things and they get mixed up. And I've got 3 full sets of the game. So if I see a group and they don't seem particularly worried about it, then I have to spend hours going through all 3 sets to make sure that all the pieces are in the right place. And that drives me a little bit crazy. But, you know, again, I don't want it to be a barrier of entry to anybody. I want them to feel free to come in like it's their own house, and they're reaching into their shelf in the closet and grabbing, you know, a game to play. And all we ask is that they, you know, purchase something while they're there. You know, that's really all it was. We were going to do like a table fee, but it just became a mess, you know, to try and worry about that. So the majority of people that come in will respect that and spend at least $5 or something on a coffee or maybe some games.
Yeah. I remembered what I was going to ask. Do you find it hard when new games are coming in, if you haven't been able to play it, to talk to people about the games?
Yeah, I try to get a general sense of the games, but like you're saying, there's so many that come out that we don't really get a chance to play them ahead of time. So I just try and I'll drive people to YouTube or, you know, some of the places that they can watch the game played.
All right. And
before James, we go, please promote everything that you'd like people to know about your store and where they can find you.
Yeah, we are on 3738 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in the Hollywood District. And this Sunday, again, we have the Game Garage Sale, which is going to be a great time. On Monday nights, we do Commander Night for Magic the Gathering, and we encourage people to come out and play with our amazing community of players.
Fantastic. Steve, thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you all for listening to Winner's Bias. If you would like to comment on the show, have any questions, or suggest discussion topics, you can email us at winnersbias.org, and you can find us on Instagram at winnersbias. I'm Nate.
And I'm James. We want to remind you that KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. Just go to kboo.fm/give, or text KBOO to 44321. And remember, it's not about the games you play, but how you keep your sticky fingers off the game pieces. Have a good one. Game.